Father, we humble ourselves this morning as we approach you in prayer. And we come in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the strength of your Holy Spirit, by the authority of Christ, who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, we make this prayer, offer our requests and intercessions and supplications and thanksgivings. Father, we're grateful for this Lord's Day. We thank you for your children throughout the world who are worshiping you on this Sunday, who are participating in communion, who are studying your word and singing praise from our hearts, and who are praying and who are studying the Bible and who are growing spiritually. And we pray for those, Father, throughout the world that do not know the name of Christ and who are still in their sins. We pray for our missionaries throughout the countries who are laboring faithfully, many of them separated from their loved ones here in the States. And we thank you, Father, for their love of lost souls and their willingness to make long journeys to foreign, distant places to proclaim and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Father, we thank you for your church here in the States and right here in Tate County. And we thank you, Lord, for this congregation, for its preacher and for its brothers and sisters and the Lord, for its young people, and for the privilege that they have, as well as the duty, to share the gospel with their neighbors and friends. Bless the upcoming gospel meeting that's about to take place at Vacation Bible School. Be with Brother Robert as he imparts the word to us today. And we thank you for his life and for his example, and for Sister Jane. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have this morning to pray for the homeless and for widows and for those who are less fortunate. And we know that there's so many people in this world that are far worse circumstances and conditions and situations than we are today. We thank you for our health. We thank you, Father, for the Bible and for its guidance. And we thank you, Lord, for the salvation from our sins that you give us daily as we turn from those sins in our lives. Father, we are grateful for the great nation in which we live. We pray that you will bless the process by which we are about to select a new Supreme Court Justice. We ask you to bless our president, bless our senators and representatives in Congress, and not only on the national level, Father, but also on the state level and the local level. We're grateful for our military. We're thankful for our first responders and those who protect us and provide for our welfare as citizens of this nation. And we pray for peace in the world. And we pray that soon that war will come to an end, and that you will bless and provide for those families who have suffered as a consequence of war, those who have lost limbs and who have lost the ability to take care of themselves. And Father, we pray for the sick and for these who have been mentioned in prayer this morning. And so we present them before you now as we pray again for those who are shut in and those who are facing surgery and those who've lost loved ones. Bless us now as we continue our worship together. We're grateful for your wonderful love and grace that provides our salvation through Jesus Christ. And we pray it in his name. Amen.
Amen. In regard to the things that we do in the camp, and we have our youth meeting tonight at 5:30. We have our devotional time this evening, and young people are going to bring some new songs along the way that they sang at camp this year, and we'll add those to our PowerPoint presentations, and we'll learn them. We'll show them for several weeks of time, and our adults will learn them, and we'll all be singing those particular songs together. First off, I'm going to start out with one that's old. It's a good song that we need to do. And that's the idea of the Lord and His way and righteous ways. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. So hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. And let's sing the song about Jesus loved me, but leave out the word me. Let's just point to that. Be silent during the word me. And if somebody messes up, that's even that much better, because the emphasis is given to me. Jesus loves, this I know, for the Bible tells so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves, yes, Jesus loves, yes, Jesus loves, the Bible tells so. Yeah, we got it. We got it going. And it's a good thing to do. Well, when Miss Jane was persuaded by the older ones, they spoke 17, well, Will 17, and Ella Grace in just a couple of months of time, she'll be 17. They both have their driver's license. And so, you know, along the way, they got interstate possibilities. So they asked their parents if it was all right for them to drive an hour or so on the interstate. Miss Jane said it was okay with her. And so Ella Grace led off, and she drove an hour down to Grenada. And Will picked up at Grenada and drove an hour down to Canton. And that's a big time for them on interstate. And so that's a good time. One of these days, Will be able to come down and preach for us when he comes down and travels down this way by himself. It's good to have you here today. Thank you for being here. Over the last several weeks of time, we've emphasized relationship. And the relationship to God the Father, the relationship to Jesus His Son, the relationship to the people around us and the way that we live and behave before them, relationship to the idea of forgiveness of others that we're around. Today I want to emphasize the relationship we have to the Holy Spirit Himself. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning verse 10, the Apostle Paul directs the thought, put on the whole armor of God. And having done all, he says, be able to stand, in spite of everything, be able to stand. When you get on down to verses 15 and 16 of that chapter, Ephesians 6, you'll read how that they're to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and taught to be always in prayer, thanking the Lord for the presence of the Spirit of God, who is a part of our daily walk of life. Now, who are these people here in Ephesians chapter 6? They're members of the church. They're taught to be personal workers for the Lord. They're taught to reach out to others and teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. As that gospel is taught, it is like using the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to direct the lives of people. Many people, as I noted this morning in class, have turned me down at the door, of knocking at the door and talking to them about Bible study possibly to be done. But then there were those who did accept the idea that they were so blessed financially. They were so blessed by their gardens, so blessed by their crops and fields, so blessed by their jobs and the performance of those jobs, so blessed by their careers, that they really did not need to have any study further about God, because God had so blessed them in that way. And I got to where I led off with that particular discussion by saying, do you not realize that Jesus our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount scarcely had begun the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, but what that He said to them, the rain comes to the just and the unjust alike. Now then, if the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike, how do you know who's just and who's not just? The physical blessing is there. The sun shines on the just and the unjust, Jesus said. How do you know who's the just and the unjust? By the sun shining. You don't know. The point is that physical blessings are what Jesus was talking about there in Matthew 5. And they come to everybody. Some have them in greater abundance than others. There are spiritual blessings, however, in Ephesians 1 and verse 3 that are said to be in Christ only. Only in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "To God be praise that He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." It is only in Christ that spiritual blessings happen. Now, when you and I then look at the Bible and see the conversions in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 22, chapter 10, of the people converted to the Lord, they're converted not by saying how wonderful God has been to you in all the physical blessings of life, but how you can come into Christ and be spiritually blessed by Him. This is the teaching of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, that pricks our hearts to convict us that we need to be what the Scripture tells us to be. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22, down at verse 17, it is noted the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Let him that is athirst say, "Come." And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Did you notice the relationship we have to the Spirit of God now? We have a relationship to the teacher who uses the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That teacher using the Word of God to convict us that physical blessings are not those things that we ought to depend upon to say, "I'm blessed of the Lord." I ought to come into Christ in order to have the spiritual blessings of the Lord. Now then, that person doing that is doing it for the Lord's sake and doing good. And we have a relationship with that person. We never forget the person who initially taught us fully the gospel of Jesus Christ. You reckon I ever forget? You probably never heard of him besides me, Brother Carlos Gunner. Brother Gunner grew up in Tennessee, worked at the factory up there for the school bus people in Lima, Ohio, was transferred then later to Kosciuszko, Mississippi, and he preached and taught there at my local home congregation at Nile every other Sunday. Brother Carlos Gunner baptized me into Christ in August of 1960. Reckon I'll ever forget him. Reckon I'll ever forget that name. After they retired, moved, his first wife died, and he married another lady who was just about like his first wife. And they moved on off to Hodewall, Tennessee. I went up the Natchez Trace Parkway and spent a night there with them and talked with them about the things that we were doing in the training school for better service and all those activities. And he reveled in it. He thrilled in that conversation. We carried that conversation to midnight that night. Did we love each other? Did we enjoy each other? Was he proud of me? Was I proud of him? He used the sword of the Spirit to teach me the Word of God. But who did the call? When those words that were spoken, it is said the Spirit and the Bride, the church, says, "Come." We're going out here and inviting people. We're sending out some DVDs to especially note to people why there's so many churches and what we need to do about that. They'll be free of charge to individuals. Somebody out here we're praying will take that and they'll see it and they will listen to it and they will be influenced by the Spirit and the Bride saying, "Come and drink of the water of life freely." That's the work of the Lord. Our relationship to the Spirit of God is a wonderful, wonderful way. He calls us to come to Him. Now then in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38, we read where the brethren on the day of Pentecost were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They had heard the word of God. That had been the sword used to prick their hearts. It is stated there, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" As that pricking was done, they wanted to have relief. And thus that relief was now offered to them in repentance and baptism for the remission of their sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit would come upon them. In Acts chapter 5 and down at verse 32, it is noted that without the Spirit of God resting within our lives, we are none of His. We need to have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our souls, in our hearts and lives. As a result of that, the Spirit of God rests with us all the way through. Now, I'm taking you this morning in this lesson on a relationship journey all the way through our conversion to Christ. The relationship begins with somebody who's interested to teach us the gospel. They bring to us the sword of the Spirit to teach us. Once we're taught, we find that sword being used to prick our hearts. We want to say, "I'll come and drink of the water of life." Wonderful is this message. Wonderful is this truth. When I obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'll have the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'll have the gift of the Holy Spirit to live in my life. And if I have not that Spirit, Ephesians 5 says, I'm none of His. So I want to be of Him. When I do sin again, as Simon did in Acts chapter 8, he was told to repent and pray that the thought and intent of his heart be forgiven him. He could come back to the Lord not by going back through the steps of being rebaptized into Christ. He was already in Christ, but he was now yielding up that position in Christ to live in sin. And thus he was told that he could restore that by repentance and prayer. The Spirit of God would not depart from him. The Spirit of God would come back to him. He would live a way of peace. But there's one other time in our lives as I close this lesson. In Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 28. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He shall also raise your mortal bodies. Here we are. We live here on this earth. We're in mortal living. We live and we get subject to diseases, subject to old age, subject to death. And we finally come to a point where we cannot live. Our heart cannot beat anymore. And we cannot live further here on this earth. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. You see, the Father sent the Holy Spirit to call him back to life. When Jesus got up out of that tomb, he left a parting message for those disciples to find. He didn't get up and say, "Whoo, I'm glad I'm here. Let's rush out here and get away from these Roman soldiers. Let's go. He didn't get in a hurry at all. He folded up the grave clothes that had him bound and put them over to the side of where they had laid him. When John ran there and got there first, and in time Peter arrived there and went on in, he found not the body of Jesus, but he found the grave clothes. And what was the message to him on those grave clothes? The thing that the disciples had been fussing and arguing about all during the latter part of Jesus' ministry with them, up to the night in which they went to the upper room. Who's going to be greatest among us in the kingdom? Who's going to be the number one person at your right hand and left hand? They were fussing and arguing about that. Jesus sought to quell their fears about that and realized you're servants of one another when he knelt down and washed their feet at the night in which the betrayal was done, even washing the feet of Judas Iscariot.
Our Lord showed them the greatest among you be the servant of each of you. If I, your Lord and Master, have so washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's. Serve one another. What happened here? Jesus left this message. Remember, I was not in a rush to get out of here. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he'll make it possible for you to have your mortal body raised as well. Will not that have been a wonderful relationship through all of our spiritual walk? To be taught by somebody, we never forget him, but he wasn't the one. It was the sword of the Spirit that convicted us. Now that sword of the Spirit rests within us. It called us to drink of the water of life. This Spirit of God dressed as a gift within us. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he'll also raise you someday. All the way through my Christian life, I've lived in this way of the relationship growing and knowing more of the Holy Spirit of God. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, all things are ready for you to be immersed into Christ. And as you're immersed into Christ, you'll have the gift of the Spirit of God given to you, and you'll be raised to walk in newness of life. When Paul wrote about that room in newness of life and wrote those plural pronouns in Romans chapter 6, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also are raised to walk in newness of life. If we have been raised to walk in newness of life, wonderful it is that you and I can join that group today. Let's not get mixed up and go over to John chapters 14, 15, and 16 and think that the Holy Spirit is still revealing the message of God to us today. That message had been fully revealed. Jude tells us that in Jude 1 and verse 3, that it has been continuously done, and it was done, and it was finalized, and that it was done. Contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. But in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, the apostles are being taught that they can have the Spirit of God come upon them and direct them into all truth and bring to their remembrance all the things that I have taught you. Some people today go back to that and say, Lord, talk to me. Spirit of God's now speaking to me. He's telling me all kinds of things. And most of the time, that conversation ends with this. Spirit of God told me to tell you to send $7.77. Or $50.77. And you'll be blessed. Blessed how? With money and income and with jets nowadays. But what we have here, physical blessings. Well, didn't Jesus settle the situation in Matthew 5 when he said, you'll have these physical blessings as you live on this earth? Everybody, just and unjust, has physical blessings. No, let's not get mixed up and reapply that. That's found in John 14, 15, and 16 in reference to the apostles and their work and how they would come to know the truth and tell that message to others. They would carry forth that message, the sword of the Spirit, and teach others by the thousands in their daily time. What a blessing it was for them, and what a hope it is for you and I to have that same abiding relationship with the Holy Spirit as you do. Won't you come to him and obey him today? We stand and sing together.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong.
y'all for this morning and being here, Brother John, Miss Beth, Blank. Thank y'all for being with us today. We're thankful for your report that you gave to us about the Mexican War. Look forward to seeing you this evening at 5:30, young people. And then 6 o'clock, we'll close out today. We do not have a potluck tonight. A potluck remembers next Sunday at noon.
Betty Brewer, Lloyd Brewer's wife, and she is in the hospital as of Friday. I don't know if she's out yet or not, but she's having struggles with some problems also.
Okay.
Lord, hear your prayer. Let's turn to number 343, 343 after Psalm Calvin.
Take time to be holy,
be caught with thy Lord,
abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are getting in nothing, his likeness shall
see. Lord, we come to you at the end of the day, thanking you for this church, thanking you for the members that come to support us. We ask that you look after those that have been mentioned today, sick and suffering, those that are requiring, I guess you would say, operations to improve their health. Thank you for the lesson that Brother Robert brought to us today. Thank you for Brother Robert for his always teaching and improving. We thank you for the many blessings that you've given us, especially your son Christ. So when he shed his blood, we might have an opportunity to spend eternity with you in heaven. We pray for the upcoming meeting that we have. Pray that it's successful and souls will be saved through your kingdom in heaven. Thank you again for the day that you've given us to come here, fellowship together, study your word, pray, and sing songs of praise to you and your son Christ. Look after us as we go through our respective homes.